Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted to be with you today here in the Pacific Northwest. The sun is shining. Our thermostats are going to be going up to 80 degrees, and those of you in other parts of the country may say, you have got to be kidding. That's cool compared to where we are. And I just want to say my heart goes out to you with those that are in the temp sections that are above 100. But by golly, we've had so much gray this spring and summer, it is a joy to see all of this golden sunshine here. And I'm so delighted. Today, we're going to be talking about reality shifts. What does that mean? Have you ever had experiences where maybe there has been what I like to call a time warp? What if you have had some other unique experiences? Well, my guest today, Cynthia Sue Larson, is a woman that really has had some unique experiences. And it's because of these experiences that she decided she was going to write this book, Reality Shifts, When Consciousness Changes the Physical World. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here on your show again.
Yes, it's a delight having you. Now, you have written other material, and as you said, you've been on my show before, and it's been a while, but you also, not only are you an author, but you're a life coach. And you are such an interesting lady because your past in education had to deal with physics, and you just evolved into a whole different level of understanding relatively, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like it's the logical, linear, left brain, scientific side, and that has folded itself into an experimentation and experience path for you that's led you into what we'd call the right side, the intuitive side. How were you able to become comfortable with this, Cynthia? What was it that opened you up to the fact that both of these aspects can be very harmonious and can empower people's lives?
Well, you know, Donna, I started off much better balanced when I was a little girl. And so it's kind of funny. But when I was really young, it was all pretty balanced. I was very intuitive. But then living in this Western world, this Western civilization, and having a dad who was a civil engineer who just loved math and science. And so, you know, I went on, I took lots of science in college, I majored in physics, and then I got an MBA degree, so I went very heavily into what you might call the left brain side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great question, like how did I bring that balance back, how did I get it back? Well, what happened for me was I had a spiritual awakening. I had some amazing things happen to me. Just a series of strange things, starting with like looking at the clock and seeing 1:11, 2:22, that sort of thing. But then just waking up every night at 1:11, 2:22, exactly 3:33, exactly 4:44, mm-hmm. and 5:55, and in the midst of what I found out is called a Kundalini awakening. Now that is just a fancy name for feeling like you've turned into some sort of an electric telephone pole, just channeling tons of electricity. I wasn't able to sleep very well at night, and so it wasn't exactly pleasant, but it was a spiritual awakening for sure. And this is a process of just tuning up one's energy channels. But when it's happening to a person, it feels a little bit like going crazy. It feels like getting hot flashes way before you're in midlife.
Now that last description is a very good one. It's like getting hot flashes. Now, for you guys, that may not equate to anything, but trust me, we women can relate to that, especially being mature. And this is something that I want to touch on for just a moment. you made a couple of comments that really grabbed my attention. Number one, when you were describing what you called part of your spiritual awakening, because there are many steps to this, the kundalini. So many times when people hear that term, they have a confusion with it because it varies in experience with everyone and how we filter it, how we perceive it. And you describing it with this electrical charge going through your body, and it was actually quite uncomfortable. Let me ask you this question. When you were experiencing that, did you have anyone you could discuss this with?
Yes. Well, not people that had gone through it, but I had friends that I could talk to about it. And it did help a lot to know that I wasn't completely crazy. And because I was also, like, I'm so glad you pointed out that the experiences can vary. Mine experience went on for a couple of weeks, which isn't too long. Some people have this go on for months, actually, and some just for a day or two. But in my case, oh boy, I felt like I said, I was going a bit crazy because I was seeing things that weren't there as well. And I was instantaneously astral traveling, just flying out of my body, and like you do when you're dreaming, except I was awake.
Mm-hmm.
And just flying around the neighborhood, up into trees, up in the sky, and seeing everything around me like with like a 360-degree angle of perception, as if I was pure spirit, and just knowing things instantly. It was mind-expanding, and I was not doing any drugs. This is also important. I was not drinking.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because someone listening to this, if they just popped in on this sentence, they say, okay, Donna's got a loony here. What is it we're talking about? This is something that when the experiences happen to people, and I'll just share a small one that I had many years ago, and that was I had awakened during the night, and I found that I wanted to open my eyelids and I wanted to move, and nothing was responding. And I learned later that I was out of my body and I hadn't realigned in my body properly, and so consequently I was feeling myself turning around and doing all kinds of things. And I didn't have anyone that I could discuss this with, and when I found someone that I thought would know, they had never had the experience themselves. It wasn't until I got a book that I read people had these experiences, and of course they were all, you know, everybody's, again, very individual, and I thought, oh, that's what this is. I was out of my body, and I was trying to realign myself. For some reason, I awakened in that state. And it's still very vivid in my mind, even today, and it's something that it makes you aware that there's a lot more going on in life than what you could have imagined. So when you're going through this growth, when you are adapting in this new modality, what was the greatest thing that assisted you, besides the people that you could talk to that didn't
right.
think you were going bonkers?
Well, actually, Donna, the thing that helped me most was just trusting the process and feeling, I know it sounds crazy, but there is a process to it, and I just started recognizing that the spirits, these guides that were there that I could start sensing were real, and that this is something I'd connected with when I was very young. I was highly intuitive as a young girl, and I just realized that it felt like my mind was breaking open, almost falling apart. Like when I kept getting dreams, images of windows and doors opening up inside of a basement building, and then looking out and seeing paradise, just as garden outside. And it felt like my mind was expanding. So I decided to trust that process and experience this as being a kind of reality. So that's the part that sounds a bit crazy, but trusting the imaginal realm as something that's even more real, that's the fundamental reality of consciousness, that's much more than what this physical world actually is. So I was trusting the angelic guides that were there with me.
I want to emphasize again what you said a moment ago, and that is that you weren't on any kind of medication, any kind of drug, because so many times people will say, oh, I've taken a substance. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say this. I always do better when I'm taking a substance. And the reality is you're not. And you might have some experiences that way, but you've got to understand that your nervous system, if it's traumatized in any way, it does not necessarily go back to a harmony and a balance. And I've seen this happen with people. So I really, as an individual, I'm strongly against using anything that is going to be self-administered in that sense, because it's just not that healthy. And what you had as an experience was a natural course for you, even though it was very unsettling for you. All of us will go through experiences at different times in our lives, and they're happening for a reason. There seems to be this, as you said, this knowingness that says, okay, you're going to be ready for this. How did this change your life?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, it still is changing my life. It's funny that just one experience that lasts just a couple of weeks could be with a person forever. But, wow, it's life-changing. I think the biggest, it's hard to know where to start, but the biggest change would be just what I just said. My perception of reality was fundamentally altered from that experience. And I'm so glad that I had it without any drugs, because then I don't think, well, that was just the, you know, fill in the blank talking. You know, that's, I just had this experience because, you know, it was a drug experience. No, this really felt to me like I'd touched something of such a deep central nature to reality itself that it really consists of consciousness. But it's so far beyond those words because it was such a spiritual epiphany. So what it did for me is it put me on track with recognizing that I felt like I'd been sleeping through my life, like I was sleepwalking and doing things out of habit. I was living a life of focusing on things that I could now see didn't matter so much, that I really needed to have meaning in my life. I needed to find a way to provide service in a way to other people that was real and significant. So this is how I became focused on what now I would call life coaching. At the time, I wasn't doing anything like that. And this is the beginning of all of the motivation to write the kind of books that I write.
Now, Cynthia, you in your book, Reality Shift, talk about parallel universes, and you talk about a particular experience that you had in September of 1998. And these reality shifts, as you describe them, occur just at any given moment. And it's being mindful of what's going on. And that's the one thing that I noted throughout your book was your mindfulness. You were paying attention. So many times people will have experiences and they're not really mindful. They think it's their imagination. There's all kinds of things that can come up. And you were with a friend, and this friend was with you. You were straightening up your house or trying to get things tidy before someone else arrived. And your friend picked up a penny from the floor, put it flat down flat on the top of the clothes dryer, and you heard him do it. And then the next thing you know, that when you find the penny on the top of the dryer, it was warped.
Yes.
Tell us about that story.
Okay, well, that's an amazing experience. And I think there's even a picture in the book of that.
Yes, there is.
It's and I know people have heard about things like spoon bending and so forth. And so if you haven't, I'll just fill you in quickly. You know, apparently it's possible that metal can be bent just through intention. Actually, it seems like it responds to emotional energy. Mm-hmm. And that was what was going on that day, cleaning up the house, getting things ready for company. It was just the process of getting, you know, usually when we do that, then I'm making sure everything's clean and tidy. And so the penny on the floor needed to be picked up. But then the interesting thing here is that when it was bent, it was as if it had just sort of melted or just curved into this shape. And I've since had other experiences, and so looking back on it, at the time I didn't know what had happened. I just thought, this is very strange. I looked at the penny, and when I saw it, it wasn't still soft like putty, but my friend said that it had been, that it had been kind of in a malleable state, that seemed like it had just you know, when he was picking it up, it seemed like maybe it had bent at that time. The whole thing was surprising to both of us. And like I'm saying, sometimes these things can happen when we're in an emotional state of being highly charged emotionally. And that's very much true of spoon bending parties, which at the time I didn't know anything about. But it's important for there to be a tremendous amount of happy, jubilant energy. But it's energy. It's emotional energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we were excited that day to have people, you know, friends coming over, company coming over. And apparently it was the same exact kind of energy that you need to bend metal. I've only had this happen one other time in my life, and I was actually holding a quarter, and it bent when I was trying to get it to go into the change machine at a BART station here in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, then I got the first hint, because up until that point, I thought, that's crazy. How could a coin bend? You know, maybe Uri Geller bending a spoon, sure, he knows how to do that. He's done it before. But to bend a coin, these things are kind of rigid, whether it's a penny or a quarter. It's the last thing that I would have expected to see bent like that. And it's round. You know, it's just not an object that would seem to lend itself to that kind of transformation. But perfect
Andy,
example of a reality shift.
Mm-hmm. You have a quote in your book that by one of my favorite authors, Richard Bach. And in Creating the Future, you have a portion on this that you write about in your book, Reality Shift. And this is what Richard said, every person, all the events of your life are there because you've drawn them there. What you choose to do with them is up to you. And I know Richard, he wrote this so many years ago, I don't even remember when the book was written, but it's a powerful book. For those of you listening, it's one you should have in your library. It's called Illusion. Those words by Richard are very powerful words, and I think it's something that people, when they can really hear the words as they were expressed by him, would know that their reality could change. They could rewrite the script, the story that they have been living, good, bad, or indifferent, to something else. When did you become aware that you could do the same thing, Cynthia?
Well, I think the beginning of it was very much with that Kundalini awakening that, and this goes back to when I was 32 years old. This was 1994. And that was just the beginning of realizing how malleable reality is. We tend to think that reality is fixed, that when you sit in a chair, it's going to stay there, that when you get in your car, that's just your car, that everything is fixed and in place, and that there's sort of this simplicity to it, or this, a kind of a sense of definite form that we can count on, that we can rely upon. And for me, the thing that really changed, and I love that quote by Richard Bach so much, you know, what we choose to do with what we attract into our lives makes all the difference. But what's really happening, the reality of it that I've experienced through reality shifts, and reality shifts, for people that don't know what that means, it really means any kind of appearance, disappearance, transformation, or transportation of something, as well as changes in the way we experience time. And so these are changes in physical reality with no apparent physical cause. And also, I consider it to be the source of synchronicity. So these things are amazing to me. Just the fact that things can be appearing or disappearing or transforming, like that penny transformed, and the synchronicities, it's showing me in no uncertain terms that there's something much bigger than just the matter and material and the objects and people and things that we see that we think are real. There really is an underlying reality far greater than just this physical world. And regardless what someone's spiritual path or beliefs might be, I think it's just a matter of keeping one's mind open to experiencing this, and the interpretation is up to the individual. My own interpretation, I love science still, so I love to see what's going on with current experiments, what do the current theories in physics tell us, and then also tie it into the real world. What am I noticing? And rather than ignore some of these amazing experiences, such as that penny that bent, what I do instead is ask the question, what's going on here? And how could that be? And I think a lot of people, when amazing coincidences and synchronicities and even reality shifts are occurring, if they can't figure out what to call that or where to put the experience mentally, I think a lot of people have these experiences, but they just don't know how to categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that that is very true. In our experience, words are necessary to paint pictures in people's minds. And dependent on your background or what you are knowledgeable about, you'll use those words that are familiar to your own environment to do exactly what you said and categorize. I know through the years, people will say, well, there's all of these different terms. How are they different? And I'll say, well, first of all, you need to know it's all the same stuff and that we're just using words to try to assist in communicating about how this can express itself through you. And I think when we're talking about reality shift, people can go through what I call a timeless zone. And there is no time. And there's really no space. There's no space or time. And scientists have acknowledged that, but it's a very difficult thing to wrap your mind around. So when people have these shifts in their personal experiences, many times having those words that are going to convey to them the understanding that what they're experiencing is not abnormal, they have just this heightened sensitivity that they are opened up to, and they need to know that this is natural. It's not something abnormal. It's natural, the rightful inheritance, but understanding it so that they don't become afraid of it is very important, because here you are, a woman with all this background with science, and you're opening back up to this wonderful part of yourself that was so natural when you were a child, you didn't give it a second thought, it just was. Then you had to close it down because of the world you were living in, and then you were enabled to reconnect with it. That's marvelous. And you, in your materials, that's what you try to convey to people so that they're not afraid.
Yes.
This is something that's very important.
Yes, it is. And I'm glad you're focusing on that, because I think, once again, with our culture, most of us living in Western civilization take for granted the rational left brain side, you know, the part of ourselves that wants to know why, wants to associate cause with effect, and that's wonderful. Those kind of thinking tools that we use are fabulous, and the reason I call them tools is because I see that as just part of our entire toolkit, our way of working with everything that we have, so that it's possible for us to bring together the intuitive as well as the rational, the logical, the analytical. And when you bring both together, what you get is the complete, the full body of your mind. Instead of just using one part of it, you've got all of it. So I think, and keeping that open mind is very important. And like you say, just knowing that it's going to be all right, that this is a normal part of our experience. In the old indigenous peoples, tribes, and groups, there used to be shaman, usually. And this person would be a spiritual leader and hopefully help all the individuals when they have experiences like this, help people interpret their dreams, listen to their intuition, look for synchronicities. And I think in our modern Western world, in many cases, we've very much swung far, far, far to the analytical, left brain, rational, sort of leaving no room, really, or not much experience of dream interpretation, looking at the tea leaves and figuring out what it means, looking at the meaning of coincidences and synchronicity. But these are ways the universe speaks to us. And my book, Reality Shifts, is really an invitation for the reader to bring a balance back and start looking at one's own life from a much more intuitive, balanced place, so that you can see the magic that's intrinsic to the world, that's all around us every day.
Well, I think that's marvelous. And you talk about a number of different experiences that you have in various expressions of these reality shifts. And I think this is often what the old shamans were trying to describe. Now, when you read transcriptions, they use, again, the language of their environment. And so many times it's very, very difficult for people when they're reading it, they'll say, gee, that doesn't make any sense to me. And you're applying the language of our environment today in your book. So it makes people able to be more comfortable with thinking about, gee, have I had an experience like this? When did I have it? And bringing it forth into the conscious mind, that is the wonderful thing about being able to communicate, being able to read, because you can go and pick out all kinds of material and say, does this resonate with me? And if it does, then you get aha's. And I think there are many people who are listening today that are probably going to get those kinds of aha's in the various experiences that maybe they just tucked away because they thought it was too overwhelming, or maybe they just had too much pizza. We give ourselves all kinds of excuses. And it's something that when we can become comfortable with it, then we go, I wonder what else is going to happen. And then you get to play the game with the universe, if you will. I remember a game I played when I was a little kid saying, okay, if I'm supposed to be responsible and this is not a good thing for me to do, I'm going to see if you're really listening. I remember I must have been about 8 years old when I did this. I was standing out on the rear steps of our home at the time when I was growing up and just looking up in the sky and saying, all right, okay, this is a test. I got whammed.
What happened?
I was held accountable, okay? It's an 8-year-old mind saying, are you for real? And when I think of that, and I hadn't even thought of that for years, but when I think of that, I just have to laugh. Because too many times we do that, and then all of a sudden we get slam dunked in some way, just like I did when I was about 8 years old, and go, okay, let me see. What else can I try? And I think that that's part and parcel of what you have in Reality Shift, because we can change the world. Yeah. We can change our world. We don't need to try to go out and try to change the whole world. That's ridiculous.
Right.
But we change our world, and that empowers us. And then there's a ripple effect. It just oozes out to all kinds of people, conditions, situations, and we go, ooh, that's pretty cool to watch that happening. And we don't even have to worry about how far it ripples. Cynthia, I know we're just about out of time. What is your website where people can go and find out more about what you do and the books you've written, including your new one, Reality Shift?
Yes, my website is realityshifters.com. That's realityshifters.com. And that is the best place to keep track of me and stay in touch on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or just to sign up for the newsletter. And then once a month, I'll send out information from the scientific research that's current today and ideas about the way that consciousness affects the physical world.
And you have some wonderful photographs in your book about the various experiences that you've had. So I think you're going a long way towards helping people recognize that they can be alert, aware, and empower themselves in a very, very special way. And I think that there are so many ways that we can have these experiences that when we can hear somebody else's stories, and I use plural, especially with your book because you have a lot of stories in them, it makes us realize that there is so much more to life than perhaps our experiences have brought us, and how wonderful it is to just know it's okay to explore. It's okay to be open and receptive to new opportunities of learning and understanding and experience. And again, your book, Reality Shifts, has a lot of provocative stuff in it as far as, gee, could these types of shifts, physical shifts, actually occur? Yes, they can. Cynthia Sue Larson, thank you for being my guest. Go to her website, realityshifters.com, realityshifters.com. She shared with you what's going to be there. You'll find that and even more. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. And for those of you that have inquired what happened on Monday, we had just this real strange situation where we just couldn't communicate with each other, so they ran a Best of Donna on Monday. We were having technical problems, and you know what? I have learned that some other people were having technical problems with their computers, and there was supposed to be something strange going on. So I do apologize about not being able, and we were not able to let you hear the interview. And, of course, the rerun was on. And then yesterday I was speaking in Arlington, but I know you enjoyed Dr. Grayson yesterday. He was just a fabulous guy. So I'm so delighted you're with me this morning. And I wanted to say telephone lines are open. If you wanted to give me a buzz, feel free to do that at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, because I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So all I need is your first name or your initial if you're a first-time listener. And then after that, sit back and relax. And let me tell you what I perceive for you as an individual. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Yesterday when I was giving my talk, I did a talk on obstacles and the entrepreneur. When I was on my way in to the event, I was just really so observant of the things that were around me on the freeway. Here in Seattle, we have major, major traffic congestion, not so many accidents, really, as just a lot of people have moved into the Pacific Northwest. So when you get into the Seattle area, it's bumper to bumper. And instead of getting irritated with all of this intense traffic where you feel like you're just at a crawl, you pause a little bit, you go and pause a little bit. I decided to just be observant of what was going on around me, and I was seeing huge trucks, all kinds of trucks, all kinds of little trucks, labels on them, of course, talking about their business is what they were doing. And I thought, aren't we in an amazing world? Because there was a time in our history, well, one, we didn't have good transportation capacities, either in the form of a vehicle or actually good roads to drive on. I mean, when they first came out with automobiles, it was just absolutely miserable. You could go into small areas where they might have a halfway decent road, but God help you, if it rained or snowed or anything else, you were up the creek without a paddle. Well, these various components, people really liked the mobility when the automobile came out, but they had to improve tires. But the biggest thing was improve roads, because people would just not be able to go very far. And you had to be prepared if things broke down. So this created an environment for ingenuity, for innovation. When I looked at all of these different services and products that were being transported in, now they're also transported by ship and by plane, but trucks bring so much in. And I was thinking, look at this phenomenal infrastructure that we have that enables us to enjoy so many things in life. And it's all because of someone somewhere along the line deciding there's a better way of doing something. And I related that at the beginning of my program because I thought, this is what we must remember. We've got so many people that are doomsayers. We've got so many individuals that are out in the world telling us what's bad. Okay, there are things in the world that stink. It goes everything from practical everyday stuff in life to dealing with politicians. Okay, we have it. But the key is, instead of being caught up in that kind of thinking, which is often labeled as thinking, what you want to do is say, all right, I have this situation. What options can I work with? How am I going to be able to take something that is seemingly as soured or bad or unpleasant or ugly? How can I metamorphosize that into something that is going to fly free, that is really going to work for me in a very positive way? Have you ever noticed with people that often are given the label of success, they have done exactly that? They maybe have gone through, and so many of my guests have done this, they've gone through experiences of loss. It's just unbelievable how that loss can be experienced. And yet, they persisted. They took something that was sour and made it into something sweet. Lemons into lemonade. That's an analogy we've all heard. But it can be applied to so much. I was speaking with a man yesterday who came up to me after the program was over yesterday and told me his story. And this is a man that went through horrific brain damage that, you know, you hear his story and you go, my goodness, look at the man today. He's well-groomed. He's got a very successful business. He has a lot of people in his employ. He is out contributing in the community. He's dealing with a business that is about giving care to others. And I listened to his story and I said, you've got to write a book about this. You must write your story up. People need to hear it. And his journey was such a difficult one. But if he didn't tell his story, you would never know the journey he had gone through. You'd look at this very well-groomed, well-spoken, poised gentleman who is in his late 30s and not have a clue, never even realize even the challenges that he works with today because of this tremendous trauma he went through. And I thought, how very fortunate I am that I'm able to bring some of these people to you. And I say some because there's literally millions that their story needs to be heard. And I'm just so delighted I'm able to bring that to you because it inspires me, but I like to think that it also inspires you. And I wanted to bring up a few other people. This is just touching into a little bit of history piecemeal. There's a prize fighter. You probably never heard of him. I'd never heard of him. His name was James J. Corbett. And he had apparently a very, very successful fighting career. And he was asked a question once. What is the most important thing for a man to do to become a champion? Now, this was many, many years ago. And his reply was, you fight one more round. A good example, there was a man by the name of Thomas Gray. He wrote 75 drafts of the eulogy written in a country churchyard before he was satisfied with what was then considered a poetic masterpiece. There was an American playwright, S.N. Berman. He wrote plays for 11 years before he sold one. Somerset Maugham earned only $500 in his first 10 years as a writer. Enrico Caruso, renowned around the world as an opera singer. He studied voice for a dozen years before he became a successful performer. George Gershwin. He composed almost 100 melodies before he sold his first one for $5. Zane Grey, a beloved author of Western writing. During his five first years, he couldn't sell a story. Nobody wanted it. The reason I'm sharing this is that success is a wonderful thing to have, but it varies as to what the success really represents with each individual. And sometimes we're going to have to work a long time to get what it is that we're wanting to achieve for ourselves. And if you're really true to yourself, you're going to keep working. And just like the boxer, the victory goes to those who are willing to fight one more round. You don't give up. And I'm so glad that we're able to share that on the air, because it's a good way to begin your day. Or to just say, I may have had some setbacks, but I'm going to go one more round. I think that's exceedingly important. Now, before we go on break, let me give out the call-in number if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Nan Russell, the Titleless Leader. This is a very, very powerful book because Nan has been in the corporate world. And so many times when we are working for other people, we feel like we don't have very much power. But Nan is going to show you how you can lead in your own way with integrity, principle, and purpose, and become a person that, well, is highly respected and regarded. And then on Friday, we are going to be talking about a product that I just think is amazing. I only learned about this about 2 years ago. It's called Pascalite. Now, the Native Americans called it a healing clay. It's out of the hills of Wyoming. Mountains of Wyoming, actually. I'll tell you, it's amazing stuff, and we're going to be talking with Jeannie Lockhart. This is a family-owned business that started up so many years ago. What a phenomenal product this is. You've got to hear the story. So they're going to be on with me on Friday. We've got a great lineup of guests, and don't hesitate to check it out. Go to my website. The newsletter's up there. You'll find a listing of guests. We also here have on the station the information. There's a little bit of a write-up on each of the guests coming up. And by the way, the guest that we had on Monday, who we talked about Culturematic, which was just absolutely great, Greg McCracken, we will be having him on again in August. So obviously because of technical problems, he wasn't there, but he's going to be coming back. So be sure you take the time to check out the information. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them?
Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. I'd like to share a recipe with you for a summer squash quiche. Now, I love quiche, and I know there's the old saying, men don't like quiche. This isn't a dish that men like, but that's not the truth. Quiche is enjoyed by men just as much as by women, and it's a wonderful thing to fix for a brunch. And it's delicious cold. If you make, let's say, one or two and there's leftovers, they just reheat beautifully either in a skillet or in a microwave, and it's just absolutely marvelous. And I was introduced to quiche many years ago by a very good friend of mine. And I'll never forget, she invited my husband and I over to her home, and here she had like four or five different quiche set out. And I went, amazing. How did you do this? And they were all delicious. Some she had made with spinach and others she had made with cheese. I mean, every one of them was just absolutely wonderful. And she said, it's so easy for me to do. So I found this recipe for a quick and easy quiche. You can do a lot of fancy woohoo stuff if you want, but this is a simple, basic recipe that you could adapt or adjust in any way that you like. And here are the ingredients that you're going to need. It's very, very simple. You're going to need one sheet, and that's half of a 14-ounce package of refrigerated 9-inch pie crust dough. That's right. So this is your dough's already made. You don't have to make it. Then you're going to need one zucchini, about 6 ounces, and you want to slice that thinly. And it's going to be about 6-ounce zucchini. It'll give you about a cup and a half of zucchini. You're going to need to add a 1 1/4 cups of milk. 1 1/4 cups of milk. I recommend whole milk or evaporated milk. And sometimes I've even used heavy cream. It changes consistency of the texture of the quiche. So don't hesitate to experiment. You're going to need 4 eggs. 4 eggs, they should be at room temperature. You're going to need 1 1/2 cups of shredded Swiss cheese. 1 1/2 cups of shredded Swiss cheese. And then 1/2 cup of drained, diced, roasted red peppers. You can buy those at the grocery store. You don't have to even worry about roasting peppers on the top of your oven. If you want to take the time, that's wonderful, or the top of your stove. If you want to take the time, that's wonderful, but otherwise, if you're like me and you're in a hurry, use what's already been done and is in usually a glass jar at your grocery store. Now, this is how simple it is. You preheat your oven to 375 degrees. You want to put a baking sheet or an oven pan of some kind on that shelf because it could bubble over and you don't want to have the bottom of your oven in a burned mess. So just have the sheet underneath, or you could even use a piece of aluminum foil, whatever works for you. You want to fit your dough into a 9-inch tart pan that has a removable bottom, or you could just use an ordinary pie pan. But for the tart pan, it really makes it so pretty when you present it because it's out of the pan. But either way, it goes. 9 inches is the circular size that you want. And now in a nonstick skillet, heat a tablespoon of oil over medium-high heat, add your zucchini, and cook it, stirring it occasionally until it's just tender. It's going to take about 5 minutes. Now, what this is also going to do is render out the moisture in the zucchini. It's going to evaporate some of that moisture out. Now, you take and remove the zucchini from the skillet. In a large bowl, you put together your milk, your eggs, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And then you want to stir in your cup of your shredded cheese and your red peppers and your cooked zucchini. Now, the zucchini will have cooled because while you're doing this, it's going to cool in the pan. You transfer this mixture to your crust, sprinkle with the remaining 1/2 cup of cheese. bake it on your hot baking sheet. Remember, it's been preheated to 375 degrees, 25 to 40 minutes until filling is set, and your edge of your pie crust is golden. Now, before you serve it, let it sit for about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, because it continues to cook. And you can, you know, add more cheese or have something, maybe a little bit of salsa on the side to go along with bacon, turkey sausage, whatever else you want to serve with it. And it's just a marvelous breakfast. It's perfect to have. And if you cook it in advance and you refrigerate it, you can also serve it cold. And it's very, very good. And you can have a little bit of sour cream with it. Whatever is your pleasure. Use your imagination. It's wonderful. And I've got another crisp roasted potatoes recipe that is so easy, fixed in the oven. But if you're like me, summertime, it's too hot. You don't want to be cooking any more than you absolutely have to. But that quiche recipe is a winning one, and you'll really, really like it. One of the things I wanted to share with you, and I know we're just about out of time with the show today, there have been phone calls that I've been getting at the office, and they're mortgage companies, they're lending companies. Have you been getting any of these? Well, I want you to be aware there's a lot of scams going on, and they get our phone numbers. I don't know how they do, but there's a lot of information that's out there publicly, and so they call morning, afternoon, or evening. They say, oh, we've got such a deal, and so many people are looking at refinancing, and they're wanting, you know, something like this. Wow, maybe this is really a good deal. You've really got to pay attention. There has been a lot of red flags, you might say, that are being raised saying, pay attention, warning, warning here. Beware of scammers. They're sending out letters by the millions, emails, just like you wouldn't believe, and flyers. They are claiming they can give home loan modifications or get you one that would be approved by the new government-run foreclosure assistance program. It's not true. They're really, really trying to get to your wallet, and don't ever take the bait. Be aware you should never agree to pay someone before they perform the service, and you don't ever, ever sign over the deed to your home or make mortgage payments to anyone but your lender without your lender's approval. And if you're like someone that I know that's had a loan, they've been in their home for years, they've got a loan, they get a notification that the lender that they've been with for so many years is going bankrupt. Major organization. And they go, oh my goodness. But they're told, whatever you do, keep sending the payments to the lender, and they keep getting the bill every month. So what appears to be their lender is no longer their lender. Mortgages have been sold like you wouldn't believe. Buying and selling of mortgages of people's homes is very, very much the in thing among a lot of banks and financial institutions. So you can find help to see if you qualify for mortgage assistance programs free of charge from HUD-approved credit counselors by calling this hotline. It's called the HOPE Hotline, and their number is 888-995-4673. That's 888-995-4673. And it's so important you pay attention. The scammers, we've always had them, but my goodness, it just seems like they're growing by leaps and bounds today. And it's partially because of technology. So be aware. Don't be a victim. And if you have any elderly members in your family, please make sure that they don't sign over documents, that you have a chance to find out what's going on. I know of two people right off the top of my head, one who had a grandmother that had signed over all kinds of things, and when family members found out, they found out the attorney the grandmother was dealing with was trying to talk her in to paying more money and doing all kinds of things, so they were able to correct that real quickly. But another person, deed on property, was lost. Because they had been talked to by some parties, this elderly individual, and they didn't tell the rest of their family members. And when they finally got around to telling the family members, it was too late to do anything. They had literally signed over a deed to people. So please be aware. I want you to have a rich life, a good life, and that is what you have a right to have. But you have to be mindful. And so if you know of people that you might be concerned about, make sure that they're made aware of certain things and that you've got little steps of protection for them in place. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. I hope you'll join me tomorrow because I'm just delighted that you've been able to share this time with me. You're so appreciated. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you for sharing the day with me today, and we'll be back here, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.